when we realize in this country how blessed we are, that there are nations around the world where individuals are just yearning to be able to come to do what you're doing right now, what we've done today, and they're doing so in danger of their very life, that they've put their life at risk by even coming together and gathering as the Lord's church. They've put their life in danger by coming together and raising their voice in song, or going to God in prayer, or even having in their possession God's Word. We have a privilege, brethren, to be here. We know the arguments, we know the excuses that our friends and brethren have offered for why they don't attend. And candidly, we may have used a few of those ourselves from time to time. Now you're sitting there, you might be sitting there thinking, great points, Ken. That would have been valuable at this morning's service or some other time. Why is he addressing this topic on a Sunday evening? We're the ones that are here. We're the ones that came back. Well, that's why we're discussing it tonight. That is why that's the topic of our discussion. Because you are the target audience. You are the faithful. You are the topic of tonight's lesson. Oh, why not tonight? Yes, a play on words? Absolutely. I was actually hoping that someone might read the bulletin this morning and see that title and see, oh, why not tonight? And maybe think, maybe I need to come tonight. I don't know if they did, but I'm awfully glad you're here. And I'd like to first look at some of the reasons why I believe you are here tonight. For some, this is their first opportunity of the day and their only opportunity to come and to assemble on the first day of the week, the way the Christians did in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, to study, to pray, to sing, to partake of the Lord's Supper. Some circumstances dictate that that's the only time they can come, and we're so grateful for you. We're so grateful that you could come and be with us. You encourage us by your presence. But I'm going to suggest a few points to you this evening. These are points that I would suggest most of you assembled here have most or all of the following reasons behind your decision to come back and worship with the Cary congregation tonight. And notice I use that word. You made the decision to do that. And God bless you for that. You made the decision to come back and to worship with this congregation for us to raise our voices in song together. And one of the first reasons that I think you may have done that is because you love the Lord. John chapter 14 and 15 tells me that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It leads very quickly to the second reason why I think you might be here, is that you love the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, talks about, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to that effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Brethren, let's not forget that we're a body and each one of us is an important part of that body. But for our body to function the way that God intends for it to be, every single one of us need to be functioning. And we can't function if we're not together. We can't function if we're not here to encourage and to share with one another. You love the Lord's church and you're a part of the body. A third reason why I think you might be here is because you love your family. You love your family. You're here because you want to set the right example, because you want to have the right example of fellowship. You know, it just encourages me so much for me to look around and to see a young family, a family with young people, because these young people are going to remember that. I'll soon be 61 years old if the Lord allows me to live another couple of months. And I can tell you that for that 61 years, as far back as I can remember, when George and Carnell Lowry set out, there was never a question about what we were going to be doing on Sunday night or Wednesday night. I was smart enough not to ask. There was no question about what we were going to be doing. I know for a fact that my wife Jennifer grew up in the same type of household. There was never a question about where we were going to be. And bless you as parents who ensure that your children are here assembled with God's people at every opportunity that you can. That's part of what the Scriptures tell us when they say, train up your child in the way they should go. Well, training them means showing them by example. And there's no greater example than having them with you as you assemble with the Lord's church. So I think you're here partially because you love your family. Number four, I think you're here because you want to become stronger and you want to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 tells us, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Number five, I think you're here because you want to increase in knowledge. We're advised in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Which one of us, no matter how long you've been a member of the Lord's church, if you're a new Christian or if you've been a Christian your whole adult life, which one of us at some point hasn't heard a lesson or a passage from God's Word and discovered something new for the very first time? We don't know it all. We'll never know it all. But I can tell you the many, many times where we've heard it proclaimed in a different way or taught from a different perspective. Every single one of us learns something from God's Word when we take the time to apply it. Number six, why are you here? I believe some of you want to show your faith in God and Christ. James tells us in James chapter 2 and 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You see, these are reasons why you made that decision to come back. When I tell you you're the target audience, when I tell you that you're the faithful, these are what are in your heart. These are the reasons that have compelled you to come out. Would it be easy to say, I'm not going tonight? It's starting to rain, it's cold, whatever, or whatever reason, I'm just not going to go. But you did. You came. Why? Reason number seven, I think part of the reason that you're here tonight is that you want to grow in Christian virtues. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why are you here? You want to teach and admonish others. Ephesians chapter 5, 19 talks about to the church in Ephesus, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You're encouraging. You're teaching. You're admonishing. when we sing these hymns, when we sing these songs, it's beautiful music to God. But it encourages each and every one of us. Why are you here? I think we are all wise enough to know that we're here because we want to guard against falling away. You see, the scriptures tell us that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If you've ever watched any of those wildlife shows, you've seen out somewhere in the plains of Serengeti or somewhere that poor little herd of wildebeest. And you look at that herd of wildebeest, like one of them's going down. Don't know which one it is, but one of them's going down. And that pack of lions starts going around the edge of them. That's what the devil is. And who's the devil go for? Which wildebeest does he go for? The one that's weak, the one that's wounded, the one that's on the outer edge, the one that's kind of hanging out by themselves. That wildebeest is going down. You know what? We're not any different than a pack of wildebeest when it comes to the devil. And he's circling around. He's trying to see which one of us is going to be weak. Which one can he take down? And he's coming after us. Why are you here tonight? I think you're here tonight because you want to let your light shine. You want people to know, as Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Brethren, we're here to glorify God. What an incredible opportunity. What an incredible blessing. And you've chosen to do that tonight. Well, there's one more reason that we need to discuss. I think you're here tonight because you love your fellow Christians. Now, this is where it's going to become a little bit challenging for us as we sit here tonight. I want you to take just a moment. I want you to look around you. Look to your left. Look to your right. Look up here. Look over here. Look in here. What do you see? Where are our brethren that were with us just a few hours ago? Are they physically sick? Did they or someone close to them have an accident? Are they struggling with a problem that we need to be helping them deal with? You know, sadly, there was a time not too many years past this very congregation when each of us would be so concerned about that vacant pew in the days before cell phones. Sometimes we'd get up and go to the office and call immediately and find out, where is so-and-so? There was a time when we were so concerned about one another that the next day or in the next days following, we'd be calling or visiting and finding out. We missed you at worship on Sunday night. We missed you at Bible study. Is everything okay? Sad, isn't it? So the question tonight, oh, why not tonight? Why aren't they with us tonight? Couldn't help but reflect in the financial world that we live in, where everything is about numbers. Everything is, attention is given to numbers. If you're in the business world, your metrics are focused on percentage growth, year-on-year growth, just sheer numbers. That's the name of the game in business. Everything's got to be more. It's got to be higher. Church doesn't focus on numbers. we shouldn't focus on numbers because we recognize the value of each and every precious soul. One soul is priceless. So it's not a numbers game. But there's a number that merits our attention. If you saw tomorrow morning when you opened up and looked at your retirement account, your 401k, well, it dropped 30 to 40%. Would that get your attention? If your boss came to you tomorrow and said, we appreciate the job you're doing, but your salary, we're going to cut your salary 30 to 40% tomorrow. But you're doing a good job. Would that get your attention? If you had a real estate agent come out to your house tomorrow, they said, you've got a beautiful home, very nice. But the value of that house has just dropped 30 to 40%. Would that get your attention? I suspect all those would. They're a little absurd, aren't they? And yet where our brethren are concerned, and you turn around and say, where are our brethren tonight? And 30 to 40% of them are not here tonight? Does that get our attention? You may still be thinking, why is he talking to us? We're the ones here. I'm talking to you because you're the ones that love your brethren. Because you're the ones that love the church. Because you love the Lord. Because you love your families. Where are our brethren? Are they hurting physically? Are they hurting spiritually? Does their absence tonight reflect a disregard for the Scriptures? Does it represent a sinful attitude that we need to help them to deal with? Do they have a lack of respect for the overseers of the church? Because, brethren, that's God's plan. Our overseers have a responsibility. They're going to stand on the day of judgment and they're going to answer not only for themselves, but they're going to answer for this flock. They're going to answer for each and every one of us as a member of this congregation for what they did. And when they say, we tried to provide opportunities to learn, to study, to grow, to build our faith, how sad that we're going to have some of our members that may have to answer and say, I didn't want to. I chose not to. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. The threat's real, but here's the point. Those empty pews, our brethren that were here this morning, that are not here tonight, we love them. We care about them, and we care about their souls. One of the most sobering passages in the Scriptures to me is Paul in his letter to the church in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. As we consider our responsibilities and we talk about as a congregation, evangelizing the world, which is an absolute necessity, something that we should do, we're reminded in that opening passage from Hebrews chapter 25 that we have a responsibility to each other right here. Evangelism starts on your pew right now. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. So my plea to you tonight is to reach out to our brethren. Reach out to that one that's not here. We don't know why they're not here unless we reach out to them. Find out how we can help them physically and spiritually. Keeping in mind that letter to the church at Galatia, remember that today, you're the strong one. You're the one that might make a difference in someone's life. But tomorrow, each one of us might be the one that needs someone to care for us. God bless you for your attendance tonight. God bless you for being here. God bless you for loving the church, for loving your fellow Christians, for loving God enough to be here. God bless you for being here. We've all been blessed tonight by your attendance, by your worshiping God with us together. It's been a blessing for us. Let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the numerous blessings that you bestowed upon us. We thank you most of all for your Son Jesus and for the church. We thank you, Father, for each and every one that's here tonight. And we pray your continued blessings upon the faithful here. We pray, Father, for those that are not with us. We pray that if they've been hindered in some way by illness, that we will reach out to them, we will help them. If they've been hindered by spiritual illness, we pray, Father, that we'll reach out and help them so that we might bring them back to faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for watching over us and for blessing us in Christ's name. Amen. Lesson tonight has talked about us as Christians. Mark 16:16 tells us that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38 tells us that Peter told the crowd in Jerusalem to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. But we know that that's the beginning of your walk as a Christian life. If you haven't done that, we're ready to do that tonight. We want to help you to start that walk, to become a child of God, to be able to enjoy the wonderful blessings that we talked about that come from being a part of His church. But we also know that it's a long road. We know that as Christians, we fall short. Sometimes we need encouragement. Sometimes we're the wildebeest that the devil's looking at. Tonight, if you're a member of God's family, if you're a member of the Lord's church, and if you haven't been walking the way that you need to walk, if you're in danger, if you need encouragement, if you're having a tough time, then this congregation of loving Christians that have assembled here tonight want to pray for you and they want to pray with you. They want to wrap their loving arms around you and they want to help each and every one of us as we strive to go to heaven. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come now as together we stand and sing.